Well, we make progress through this opening of the epistle of 1 John by coming now to verses 5 through 7. John introduced the main scope of his epistle in introducing the way of fellowship, the way of true religion. It's not one of mere doctrinal assent. It's not one of mere practical carrying forth of a few things. It is the life living out and living in of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's fellowshipping with Him. It's actually communing with Him. Not Lord's Day by Lord's Day, but day by day and moment by moment. And so He says, for instance, that this is what we declare unto you, and we declare Him unto you, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, which we've handled, the Word of life. We declare this unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And then he goes a little bit further, as we considered, and we've seen that this is purposed not to belittle us, not to set us aside, but rather to enrich us and fill us. As he notes, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, this is sort of the sum of the whole epistle. What he's going to do now is break out various ways in which fellowship is to be held. Ways by which we know if we're fellowshipping with God and enjoying this. And so all of what he said in verses 1 through 4 blankets, if you will, all the particulars of the remainder. So for instance, when he comes and he deals with those who say they've not sinned, and we make him a liar and his word is not in us, he's not writing that to berate us. He's writing that so that our joy would be made full by having fellowship with Christ. When he says, if someone says that they know him and keep not his commandments, is a liar, he's not saying that to make us cross our arms and say, well, away with this. He's saying this to correct us and set us on the course wherein true fellowship and joy everlasting should be had by the life of Christ. And so we come from the wonder and the sweetness of fellowship with the incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, verses 1 through 4, and come now to consider a clarification. This then is the message which we have heard of him, writes John, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And so on as we've read. Well, here's the clarification. It's easy for any of us to pretend or even to consider that we have fellowship with God. It's something that we all can reckon unto ourselves. Do you hold fellowship with God? Someone asks. And you're able to say, of course I do. And so we part ways and we think nothing more of it. Well, John gives us this wondrous privilege of actually saying, well, hold on a little bit. Let's consider what it means to hold fellowship with God. And he does so in a particular way. He does it in three general ways, as we'll see throughout the epistle. But here's the first of those general ways. That fellowship with God is found by grace in holy living. It's not found by mere holy living. And it's not found as if you could have it just by grace. The grace and the holy living come together. The holy living is the fruit of grace. It's the product of it. And where you find true grace, you'll find holy living. Where you find holy living, you'll find the origin of that and the fountainhead of that to be grace. Well, so he sets this forth. Now, if we've written to you, he sort of considers, and you've heard indeed that we want you to have fellowship with us and with the Father and with the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, let's pause a little while and think about what fellowship is. And by the way, what it's not. And it'll open both of these doors for us. We'll be able to peer in and see, well, this is what fellowship looks like. And then we'll be able to look into another set of doors and say, well, that's not fellowship with God. And the whole while, not doing it in an academic manner of trying to figure this out and then sort of set forth a term paper, but that we then would come to know, do we have fellowship with God? Or what do we have instead? And if we don't have fellowship with God, well then, he's written unto us the way of having fellowship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this first thing that he sets forth is to answer this pretend thought that some have. They live as if God holds fellowship with us in our continuation in sin. There's this consideration, well, all are sinners. The Bible even asserts it. Look, John's going to write this. If we say that we've not sinned, we make God a liar. Well, if that's the case, says one to John, then my fellowship with God has nothing to do with whether I sin and continue on in that rebellion, or if I leave off sinning and seek to break its strength and put it to death by the Spirit. But John addresses that first and in the front. He says this, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, God who is light, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You see, fellowship with God is found in the midst of holy living, and that by grace. Well, we want to consider this fellowship with the righteous God in three ways. Firstly, the God of light, with whom we have fellowship. Secondly, the deception of darkness. And thirdly, the fellowship of light. The God of light, the deception of darkness, and the fellowship of light. You'll notice he starts with this declaration. By the way, he uses these expressions in verse 5 that are quite solemn. They're meant to grab our attention. They're meant to make us sit up straight and realize that we're dealing with something quite serious. Because he takes pains to say, this isn't something I received by mere apostolic tradition. This isn't something that I sat down while I was exiled in the Isle of Patmos and came up with of my own accord. Notice the language he uses. He says, this then is the message which we have heard, note, of Him, and declare unto you. We've not developed this. We've not messed with it. What I'm about to announce to you is the message that Christ has given us. And what's that message? It's this. It's God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And we say, well, John, we can turn the page now because we already knew that. But you see, he's actually setting something up for us of the greatest importance. He says, pause here for a minute and think about this. This is an authoritative message. This isn't my making up. This isn't church tradition setting this forth. This isn't a group in a council saying, what do you think about God? Well, God is light. This is what the philosophers have said about Him. This is what the Jews have said about Him. Let's agree and say the same thing. No, John says, this message which we're declaring unto you has come directly from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And so right away, we're thinking clearly when we realize that all that's about to follow, whether we agree with it or whether we disagree with it, is a divine message, which, if we disagree with it, is to our unending peril and destruction. So he sets it off quite clearly, this message. But you'll know the message that's declared. God is light. And if we had any doubt of what that meant, he says, and in Him is no darkness. Do you know what John's saying? What I'm about to say is an absolute truth. It doesn't have its circumstances of degrees of difference. It is fully intended to carry the fullness of what I'm saying. In God, God Himself is light. Perfect. Pure. Clear. There's no shadow within Him. Not the slightest imperfection. All that He is perfect, undiluted, pristine glory. You get the notion of light in the Scriptures applied unto God quite frequently. We'll look just at a couple of them in Isaiah. For instance, chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. You'll notice how this message is set forth. Isaiah 60. And here is God's calling upon His people. You'll notice what's said in verse 19. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Here it's speaking of this wonder of provision, that by God shall knowledge be had. God will give truth. God will give instruction. God will give clarity. You won't need artificial things any longer. And you have it by Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And at verse 16, there toward the end of his epistle in 1 Timothy, you'll find that he says something quite similar. Speaking of the very God Himself being light and perfect and pure. So we have it this way. in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and at verse 16, speaking of the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in light which no man can approach, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. You know this much. It's talking about the transcendent glory of God. And what does His glory consist of? Well, all of His perfections in their purity and without dilution, without any sort of lessening of their perfection. God is perfectly holy, such that the angels cannot express it by one statement of it, but they have to double it and triple it, which is a Hebrew way of speaking of it in the best possible and highest possible form. God, You are holy, holy, holy. We can't make up a new word. We can't capture with any other thing. It's holy. But lest you mistake what we mean, we've seen the relative holiness of the saints. We've seen our derived holiness as angels. But You possess it as the very fountainhead and source. We possess it by derivation, by provision from You. You have it in and of Yourself. We have it by Your merciful gift. So therefore, whereas we might be able to receive the description as holy ones, as saints, oh, we must be clear that Your holiness is far superior to ours. See, it's perfect and pure. Well, what does light do? Children, you can answer this question. What does light do? Well, you know quite right away, don't you, that light causes us to see clearly. It penetrates darkness. It gives us understanding. It shows dangers. It shows safety. It reveals things for us. And God Himself has this revealing way. As light reveals, so He reveals. By and with His Word, of course. He reveals truth and holiness. Christ Himself says, I am the light of this world. Men love darkness rather than coming to the light. They would rather remain in their sin than let the light shine upon them. Right? See, this is the truth of God. God is glorious, pure, perfect, no defect, no imperfection in the least. He is light, and there is no shadow within Him. It's interesting, isn't it, at times? Have you ever been, for instance, looking at some light source, and then the lights come on and you realize it's somewhat dimmer now? Thought it was bright, and now it's relative. You see that there are different degrees of brightness among lights. Here you have a flashlight, you turn it on, and then you turn a more powerful flashlight, and it's as if that first flashlight's light doesn't even exist. There's something better and more powerful about this larger light bulb and the power being given unto it. Well, if you can think of it this way, what's being said of God is He has it all. He is perfect and pure. No defect, nothing purer than He, nothing more perfect than He. He has it absolutely. Unless we think that this is just a nice philosophical category, John says this is the very message which Christ delivered unto us. So He's perfect and He dwells in perfection. He dwells in holiness. He indeed is the Holy One of Israel. Now, this is the God, by the way, whom John has held forth to us as the one with whom we're to have fellowship. Notice, for instance, says it this way, life, verse 2, was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and which was manifested unto us. And with whom is our fellowship? Verse 3. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Well, now, let me set this straight, says John. This God with whom we have fellowship and with whom I invite you to have fellowship is perfect, unspotted. He doesn't wink at sin. You know, this happens at times in what's called these gentlemen's clubs and so on, where they have their high standards for outsiders. Well, but inside, it's all fine. You sin a little bit, you cut a corner here or there, we'll just wink at it and call it even. But if someone does it outside of this club, we'll set it to them straight. What John is saying is this: there's no gentleman's club with God. There's no old boys club. There's no come and be chummy with God and he'll just sort of set you aside and say, well, you've sinned a little bit, it's okay. God's not that way. He's not defiled like you and me. We often make him that way. We often think, subconsciously even in ourselves, well, God would strike down them because they're, well, outside of the covenant. But I'm within the covenant. I'm born a child of the covenant. I've been baptized. I've been sitting at the Lord's Supper. I've come on the Lord's Day. I read my Bible. My sins, they're not that bad. Well, that's to actually make the light of God relative. As if God's light is more brightly shining upon the world in their corruption and not so bright upon us. When God sees your sin, do you know what he sees? He sees all the ugly atrocities that really exist within your heart. He doesn't say, well, there's my child, my son, my daughter, and his sins. I'm just going to pretend they're not there. He sees them and he can't but see them in all of the horrid ugliness that they are. Why? Because he's nothing but light. There's not a degree to turn down. There's not a power that you can lessen. He is pure, beaming purity of light, of holiness. This is the God with whom we're to have fellowship. Now, all of a sudden, we have gotten ourselves in a difficulty. Because if this is the case, we might as well say to John, listen, there must be something wrong with this message. Because how am I, who am impure, to hold fellowship with God who is pure? Well, notice what John does. He sets forth a common deception. We come to think of the deception of darkness held forth in verse 6. Some will say it this way. They'll answer the conundrum and the problem this way. Well, we have fellowship with him, but we're still able to walk in darkness. Notice what John says. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, see what's said there? It doesn't say we make a little mistake or we sort of round the corners off. It says it quite clearly. We lie. We've deceived ourselves. We've attempted to deceive others. And we perhaps have even attempted to deceive God. But it's not just a verbal lie, is it? Do you see what follows? We lie, and the words are these, and do not the truth. The lie is one, not of orality, but of practice and habit. We do not the truth. We've not done it. Our mouths are professing one thing. Oh, we have fellowship with the God who is light, and our life is walking in darkness. Children, can you entertain for a moment a silly picture? Can you imagine for a moment, children, that someone had a flashlight in their hand and they were shining it on the floor and said, I am shining the light upon myself. Say, that's ridiculous. You know, who would be so stupid as to do that, shining it on the floor and their body's not in it and saying, I'm shining it on myself. Well, there's something more ridiculous. It's one who walks in darkness and says, I have fellowship with a God who is light. I tell others that I'm okay. I go to church, perhaps. I read the Bible, perhaps. John doesn't specify which particular sin is there to walk in darkness. It's not talking about under the covert of shadows, we hide a dagger and kill someone and hide it again and say we're okay. It could be that. It doesn't say that we outwardly obey the Lord on the Sabbath day and then at nighttime, before the Sabbath is over, we turn on the television, watch the sports programs, listen to the music that is worldly or not godly at the very least, and we say, look, I'm okay. It could be that. But what's being said is any form of walking in darkness is to lie and do not the truth if we say we're okay, we have fellowship with God. He doesn't specify. In this book, he'll talk about if someone says they know God and hates his brother. If someone says they know God and they keep not his commandments. These are ways of walking in darkness. It can be any particular aspect of sin, any part of God's holy law, outward, inward, action, thought. It doesn't matter. If we think to have covered ourselves and to walk in darkness, while we peep our head out every once in a while and say, listen, I'm okay, I'm walking in light with God. Whatever else is true, we are lying and seeking to deceive others, ourselves, and if possible, even God. The claim is to have fellowship, to walk in communion with God while in darkness. Well, it's impossible, because to be with God is to have His light shining brilliantly upon us. Could you imagine, for instance, to make a silly illustration, someone hiding in a cave at the midst of the noontide sun, and they're saying, I'm going to get a sunburn. If they're there hiding in a cave, and the noonday sun is out, and they're in the shadows of the cave, and they say, I'm out in the cave to get a sunburn. Say, this is silly. It's impossible. It can't happen. Well, of course it can't. Because except they're in the sun, they won't be burnt by the sun. Well, here's something more special. Except we're walking in light, we don't have fellowship with God. Except we expose ourselves. Except we open ourselves to all of the vulnerability of having God's light shine upon us. Unless we are willing to say, Lord, search me and know me, we will not walk in the light as He is in the light. You see, to walk in darkness is to deceive ourselves. It's covering our wickedness and pretending our wickedness is not there, not willing to have it exposed unto God or unto others. Someone comes and asks a searching question. Do you love God? You say, yeah. What do you know what loving God means? It means to keep His commandments. Do you keep His commandments? And in the deep recesses of your mind, you shut off all those thoughts that say, well, I don't like that commandment. I'm really not fond of that commandment. But the other eight, I'm okay with. And so you say to others, yeah, I walk in the light. What that's doing is covering and hiding in darkness. And whatever else we're professing, we are indeed not having fellowship with God. We walk in darkness. You see, the verdict of such a claim, when one is covering their sins, when one is carrying on in the course of wickedness and yet professing to walk with God, it's not my verdict. It's not the church's verdict. It's not church history's verdict. It's a divine verdict. That one lies. Sometimes people don't like the black and white of Scripture. They like degrees and shades. And they say, oh, you can have your bright white over there if you want, and you can have your pitch black over there if you want. But I like to live sort of in the grays, grayscale. It gives more help to me and allows me some subtle diversions and distractions. Well, look what God says. If you do this, He doesn't say, oh, it could be that you're this way. It could be that you're that way. It may be somewhere well between this. He says, you're not walking in light. You're lying and deceiving yourselves. You do not the truth. The quicker we come to realize that God looks upon sin and calls it sin, the quicker we come to terms with the fact that God looks upon our sin and says, that's a lie. That's adultery. That's Sabbath breaking. That's idolatry. That's stealing. That's coveting. And He doesn't sort of cast these grayscale categories upon it, but says that is sin. That's righteousness. The quicker we'll come to terms, not with the church's testimony, but with the church's God testimony. His testimony. If we say this and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So many times people have these squabbles with preachers, and they say this preacher speaks too plainly. Remember what John Knox said when he talked about the sin of the Mass and the sin of the Pope, and people in the streets who had seen people before and put to death said this. They put to death Patrick Hamilton and George Wishart for lesser things than this. He speaks plainer than they. He's foolish. They're going to put him to death all the quicker. Well, the problem that they have is not with John Knox. The problem that our culture has is not with this preacher or that denomination or this church. The problem, when a preacher speaks plainly and it is in accordance with the Scriptures, is that men, as Jesus says, love darkness rather than light. Men don't want to have their deeds exposed. Do you? Do you want all of your sins publicly shared with everyone? How would that make you feel if all of a sudden, with a plain rehearsal, all of your sins were publicly announced to all the world? Be shameful, wouldn't it? And there's something that scares us about that. Well, here's what John is saying in some sense about this deception of darkness. If you go on pretending with God that your sins don't exist, if you go on pretending with God as if your secret sins aren't really that bad and you cover them up, you don't have fellowship with God. You're now trying to hide from God. Did Adam and Eve have fellowship with God in the garden when He came near unto them and they covered themselves with fig leaves and they hid themselves from His presence? No, they had turned from God. And if we had been there and interviewed Adam and said, "Well, right now, do you have fellowship with God?" And he would have said, "Well, yes, I do." We'd have this absolute contrary picture. Well, then why are you hiding from God? Why are you keeping yourself away from Him? Why don't you go to Him and say, "Oh, God, I've sinned against You. I've done this terrible deed. I've wickedly consented to this iniquity. But I want fellowship with You. I don't want to be broken off for You. Adam, why are you hiding here in the bushes and you claim to have fellowship with God?" The same is true in a myriad of ways. When we try to cut out passages of Scripture, hide behind church tradition. "Oh, this one, he justified this course of sin. Others say it's sin. The Bible says it's sin. But this one says it's not. I'm going to take him as my teacher and tout him up and say, well, this reformer, this church, this denomination, this confession has said it's okay to do such." Nonetheless, all the while, not being interested in hearing from God and His Word. That's not fellowship. It's hiding. And what God says is, if that's you, you're deceiving, you're lying, and doing not the truth. It's outright impossible. Notice, for instance, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and at verse 14. Paul doesn't say, "Well, for some of you, this is sinful. For others of you, it's not," and so on. He says it quite plainly. Chapter 6, 2 Corinthians, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Someone you can imagine saying, "Well, not all unbelievers are the same. Some unbelievers are a bit more civil. Unbelievers, of course, we wouldn't want to have anything with them." Paul says, "Listen, here's what I mean. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness?" It doesn't exist. If you hide in the shadows, you're no longer in the light. If you expose yourself to the light, you're no longer in the shadows. It's one or the other. That's the point. You'll have it likewise in John chapter 3, a passage we've already referenced to some extent. In John chapter 3 and at verse 19. John 3 and at verse 19. This is, notice how he's so quick to say it. And by the way, this is Jesus speaking. "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light." Why? Because their deeds were evil. There's the simplicity of it. We don't like when the Bible exposes our sins. Why? Because we love our evil deeds. We don't like when the Bible says don't covet, and if we're quite honest, we love coveting. It exposes our wicked deformities of soul. We don't like when the Word of God comes and says you're to worship with joy, with gladness. You're to sing psalms with great delight. Well, because we don't like this, that, or the other thing, and we'd rather humdrum our way through life. We don't like when it says die to yourselves, because that's quite painful. And what we mean by that is, there's a lot of ourselves in ourselves. There's a lot within our own thoughts and our own agendas. die unto ourselves? Well, that's too severe. Why can't we just sort of manage ourselves? Why can't we just sort of act like we've died unto ourselves? Why can't we pretend it? Well, all of that is an attempt to cover up our sins from the light of God. But lest we gain full discouragement, we have this as our encouragement in 1 John chapter 1 and at verse 7. From the deception of darkness, John doesn't go on and say, therefore no one has fellowship with God except those perfectly pure and perfect ones who walk in the light at all times, perfectly and righteously, with no defect whatsoever. Notice what he says. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. But before we seem to have contradicted ourselves, notice, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Do you know what John's saying? He's saying there's two things here. There's a sphere, if you will, of true fellowship. And that sphere is the righteousness revealed by God in and through his word. To hide ourselves from that, to hide ourselves from God,